You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Psalms 94. Psalms 94. Now, we've been ministering on Sunday mornings on the power of confession, the power of your words, the power of what you say. And well, you can take that in every direction. You can just talk about marriage and talk about words. Talk about business and talk about words. Talk about church, talk about words. What do you say? What do you say about yourself? What do you say about God? What do you say about your situation? What do you say about others? I mean, these are really important questions. And of course, the answer to that should be, we are saying what God says. Amen?
That's right.
That's why we have a Bible. You know, we don't just have a Bible so we can get saved, but we have a Bible so we know how to live. So we can know who God is and know about God and know, you know, what He does and what He doesn't do. So we can know how to relate to each other. I mean, the Bible is an instruction book. It's not just a religious, spiritual book about God. It is about God, yes, but it's about us.
Right.
And it's about the world that we live in. And we get instruction from, we know how to love from the Bible. We know how to forgive from the Bible. We know how to live holy from the Bible. We hear all kinds of things in the Bible. We read all kinds of things that we know we should do because God says to do them. Well, I think we may have submitted many things to God's Word, but in many cases we have not submitted our tongue to the Word. We hadn't submitted our mouth to the Word. We're just saying whatever we hear everybody else say. We're saying whatever's popular. We're saying whatever we feel. And we're not really studying and thinking about what we're saying. Is what I'm saying going to help or hurt? Is it going to bless or curse? Is it in line with God's Word or is it out of line with God's Word?
Amen.
And we often just chalk it off too, make excuses. I know you've never done this, but you probably heard this. You know, I didn't mean that, I was just talking.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
But the problem is the seeds are out there. I mean, a farmer just didn't say, I didn't mean to plant watermelons, I was just throwing seeds.
Yeah.
I really wanted, you know, cantaloupe or I really wanted squash, but I was just throwing seeds and I just threw some seeds out there. Well, that's fine, well, and good, but the problem is seeds do produce.
That's right.
And so even when we're just talking, and we have a million excuses for doing it, oh, I had a bad day, or I didn't have my coffee that morning. Hello. Or someone just got me so mad I said that, or whatever, but never take responsibility for it. We just blame everything else. But the problem is the seeds are out there. The words are out there. And words do hurt, or they help. And you can make a difference.
That's right.
Amen. Now, this is, you're going to love this one. I've mentioned this before, but good stuff. Psalms 94, found it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Psalms 94, I'm going to play off some words here that the psalmist said, and we'll just take it, and I'll establish it scripturally. I'm going to use something he said here that didn't necessarily mean what I'm going to say right now. Well, that's a good way to start a sermon.
Yeah.
But you're going to see as we go through other scriptures, the point I'm making is very valid, it's very scriptural. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you right off the bat, you know, when you read this, so. Okay, I got your interest, right? What is he going to say? The psalmist is talking here in the 94th Psalm, the 17th verse. He said, unless the Lord had been my help, I'm reading New King James Version, my soul would have soon settled in silence.
Yeah.
Oh my. Boy, I feel a message coming up.
Come on.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the Lord is our help.
Yes.
And secondly, we don't have to settle in silence. Now, I think the psalmist is talking about literally, specifically here, that he would go off into silence, and the silence of death, the silence of not living again. But if you just use that term, settle in silence, we often settle things in silence.
That's right.
In other words, we don't speak up.
That's
we
right.
Don't pray. We don't try to change it. We accept it. And so we accept it by our silence. Silence is a choice. Silence is a statement. And so because we don't come against it and we don't pray against it and we don't change it, we remain silent, we settle the matter. We settle the matter in silence. Somebody says something. We hear a bad report. Some crisis took place. Instead of praying, we just settle it in silence. We accept it. We don't change it.
That's right.
Are you with me? We do that in life. People get out of hand, out of line. We never correct them. We never do anything. We let it continue. People do that in marriage. People do that in business. People do that in politics. It's usually the loudest voice that gets it done. Even on committees and on boards and so on and so forth, we talk about democracy, but really It's not necessarily democracy. It's the loudest person. It's the one that bullies his way through. It's the one, good or bad, that will not be silenced. And the rest of them have to accept it because they don't speak up. There was a phrase coined years ago, the silent majority. I think it was Jerry Falwell, I think, coined that phrase about Christians, that Christians were the silent majority in this country because we wouldn't speak up and we wouldn't get involved politically and we just let people just run over us and liberals thinking take over. And then so we got school out of prayer because of Madam Maureen O'Hara, who had no organization at all as far as backing money and so on herself personally. But she had the voice of the liberals and the voice of the conservatives wouldn't speak up. And they took prayer out of school. Roe versus Wade. Now it's legal to kill babies in our country. Because nobody spoke up. Nobody came against that. Are you with me? And so Edmund Burke said this. Edmund Burke was a great writer, classic writer years ago. Said, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Now, that's true in a big sense, a great sense, a grand sense, especially in politics. Of course, I'm, Betty's state representative here in Kaufman and Henderson County. Is that right? Kaufman and Henderson County has been 10 years now. Is that right? 12 years. That's not right. 12 years? 12 years, and she knows what I'm talking about. If you don't speak up, if you don't get out there, if you don't voice it, in fact, she as a representative is influenced by letters that are written, calls that are made about what needs to be done. Are you with me? People speak up. Well, I'm telling you, God's waiting on us to call. He's waiting on us to speak up. He's waiting on us to cry out. He's waiting on us to ask. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door will be open unto you. He didn't say, if you don't ask, it's going to happen anyway. If you don't seek, you'll find it. You'll stumble across it just like an old blind hog finding an acorn every once in a while. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say the door will be open whether you knock or not. He says, if you ask and you seek and you knock, then you'll receive and find and the door will be opened. And so there has to be a point where we speak up. We quit being silent. Quit accepting everything that's happening in our lives. The pain you're experiencing. The tragedies that you're going through. The crisis that's confronting you. Listen, the world's full of crisis. I understand that. But are we going to settle in silence? Or are we going to pray? Are we going to speak up? It's not so much what we've done in many cases that has gotten us in trouble with our mouth. I think in many cases it's what we have not done with our mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not so much that we brought all this on us by things that we've said. That can be the case. And we know death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. But sometimes just our silence causes the last word to rule the day. Right. Whatever that word is, that word of crisis, that word of bad news, that word against us, because we do not combat it, we don't confront it, we don't speak up, we just go off silently in the night.
Yeah.
And it's because of what we don't do. That would be like a sin of omission, not a sin of commission. We forgot to pray. We forgot to say something. We forgot the power of the tongue. We forgot our responsibility. We forgot that God's Word can make a difference and should make a difference, and we ought to be the ones speaking up and making a difference in this world. Amen. You know, it was Blaise Pascal said this. I know you're writing all these quotes down. Okay. I think he said it a little differently than this. He actually, what he said, I'm going to tell you what he said, no matter what he said. This is what he said. If it's a crime to disturb the peace when truth rules or reigns, then it is also a crime to keep the peace when truth is being destroyed. Get it? If it's wrong and it's a crime to disturb the peace when truth is reigning and you're just being a heckler, then it is just as much as a crime to keep the peace and not say anything when truth is being destroyed. I believe that's what God's calling us to. I think we're living a life where we're being confronted by the devil, we're being confronted with sin, we're being confronted with tragedy and crisis, and we are here to make a difference.
Yes, we are.
And
yeah,
we make that
right.
difference by speaking up. We make that difference by the words of our mouth. We don't settle in silence. Why? Because the Lord is our help.
That's right. That's
and if the Lord was not our help, we would have soon settled in silence.
Right.
But praise God, I have recourse. I have a way out. I have help. Hallelujah. I've got the Lord. I don't have to be quiet. I can pray and I can make a difference.
Amen.
Turn over to Psalm 45.
Mm-mm.
Good stuff. Amen. But it's instruction. Think about it now. It's instruction. It's just for us to go out and do these things. Psalm 45. Notice this. I love this. Of course, King James, first verse, Psalm 45, it says, I think my heart is inditing a good matter. The New King James here is saying my heart is overflowing with a good theme. In other words, I'm meditating. I'm just full of good news. Got the good news in me. Got the good word in me, as it were. It kind of reminds you of what Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Because you got it all in there, it's going to come out, you know. Because you planted the seeds, they're going to come up. So he says, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I love that. That's poetry there, man. I love that. Isn't that good? So if your heart, and here's how you do this. If your heart is full of God's word, your tongue is ready to write. If the Lord had not been my help, I would have settled in silence. I would have had writer's block. Trying to stay with a metaphor. Okay. But since my heart is full of an overflowing with a good thing, God's good word, my tongue is ready and set here to write a new chapter in my life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The story's not over. I can write another chapter.
Amen.
And many of us need to write another chapter in our lives. We need to speak up and not settle and not put the end on what's happening here.
That's right.
We need to put next chapter. You know, so they always end the story on a series. The guy, you know, the hero, you know, he's about to die, or he's going to get blown up, or something happens. You got to tune in next week. And you get the next week comes in there, and he survives. Hallelujah. Like we all knew he would, but we tuned in next week to find out how, because we knew he would. Looked like he died. He fell off the cliff. You know those old Sherlock Holmes stories. Arthur Conan Doyle wrote those years ago. And he actually killed off Sherlock Holmes. He really did. It was a whole series of detective stories that he put in a magazine called The Strand. It was real popular in London at that time. And so he was paid to write these stories, this fictitious character, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, you know. And so they would solve all these problems. And he had this arch enemy called Professor Moriarty. Any of y'all remember any of that? Okay, all right. A couple of you are dating yourself here. I saw no young hands go up on that one. But anyway. But at Rickenback Falls, I don't know why I'm thinking of this story. I did not plan telling this. It just came to me all of a sudden. At Rickenback Falls, he struggles with Professor Moriarty, and he falls off the falls and he dies. And that's it. That's the end. You know? So anyway, London was in an uproar. Literally, in an uproar. It'd be like a soap opera going on. You killed off the hero of the soap opera, whatever, I don't know. You know. And they didn't like this at all. They rode into the Strand. They said, this is ridiculous. We cannot kill off Sherlock Holmes. You can't kill my hero. And so after weeks or months or however long it took, they brought Arthur Conan Doyle back, and he survived the fall. Miracle of miracles. I guess he slipped off in the water and swam away. Whatever. I don't know whatever happened. But he wrote another chapter, you know.
Yeah.
Changed the whole story. Changed the whole outcome. Well, I believe you and I can write another chapter.
Amen. That's right.
I don't think we're dead at the bottom of the falls, okay?
Oh,
I don't believe it's over.
That's right.
I believe that we, with our mouth, with our tongue, instead of settling in silence and putting the end on it and never saying another word, we need to say something else. In fact, I think we need to always say something else when crisis comes.
That's right.
When opposition comes, when the enemy comes, when the bad news comes, we need to say something else.
That's right.
If the Lord had not been our help, well, we would have settled in silence. But praise God, the Lord is our help. And my heart is overflowing with a good thing. And I can't help but get my pen. I still got ink in my pen. I can't help but write another chapter. Amen. And that's what God's calling us to do. He's calling us. Everyone that comes to Jesus writes another chapter in their life. Did you know that? And every situation that you come to Jesus with, you write in another chapter in your life. You can change the ending.
Amen.
Or you can accept the one you've got. How'd I do that? Don't say anything else, and it'll just keep going just like it's going. Or you can get that pen ready and write another chapter with the Lord's help. And with the good word that's in your mouth. In fact, you know, I mean, this is the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He didn't say, let the redeemed of the Lord be quiet. Don't say a word. No, he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And again, Psalms 35, verse 27 says, let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified, which takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So when bad times come, we who favor God's righteous cause are continually saying, the Lord be magnified that takes pleasure in my prosperity. So we're not accepting the bad news. We're continually saying what God says. Why is that? Because the Lord's our help. We got some help. Hallelujah. We got some help that's helping us. And that help, of course, is God's Word. Look at Jeremiah 20. Is this helping you today? I think we've been silent way too long. It's time we spoke up. And I'm talking speaking up in prayer, speaking up in faith. Instead of just accepting everything that comes down the, you know, our path, or everybody knocks on our door, just buying everything, every salesman comes along and tries to give us or sell us. Don't you take the devil's bag of goods. Don't you do it. Don't you sign for it. Don't you accept it. You speak up. Hallelujah. 20th chapter. In fact, you know, Larry's talking about boldness. Well, let's pray for boldness, that we would speak up and not be silent. Boldness to pray, boldness to believe, boldness to stand on God's Word. I mean, there's a lot of bad things that happen. I'll tell you, it's overwhelming sometimes in the natural. It just knocks you off your feet. It knocks your feet out from under you. Sometimes you get sucker punched with the crisis of life. Life is, you know, it's rough. It's got thorns and thistles and grabs and it bites and, you know, but praise God, we've got God in us, and greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. Now, you got to fight if you want to win. You can't just lie down. If you lie down, you're going to lose. And sometimes you get knocked down, but just don't stay down. Don't stay down. Sometimes you get overwhelmed. Sometimes you cry. Sometimes you hurt. Sometimes you feel lost in the situation. But you know what? That's all right. Feelings come, feelings go. Get back up on your feet. Start believing. Start praying. Get somebody to pray with you. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed with the obstacle. I mean, there are sometimes diseases and pains and financial reports and bad news that you hear that you think, my Lord, what in the world am I going to do? You feel like you're in a box, and then you start realizing, wait a minute. I'm a child of the living God. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, all things become new. I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. I've got the victory through Christ Jesus, my Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Are you with me? And the Lord will be your help. If you're full of God's Word, if your heart is overflowing with God's Word, your tongue is ready to write another chapter. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you're listening to God's Word, and you're meditating on God's Word, and you're hearing what God says, and you've been reading and studying God's Word, you've been praying, when the crisis hits, I'll tell you what, you can't help but speak God's Word. It's not even just you forcefully, willfully doing it. It is your will. It is your choice. But you're so full of God's Word, you can't help but do it. You're not alone. Amen? You haven't been alone a day in your life since you got saved. Amen. Jeremiah 20, notice this. Verse 9. Then I said, Jeremiah talking, I will not make mention of him. Listen to this. He wasn't even going to say anything. Wow, there you go. That's a great prophet. That sounds like a non-prophet prophet. But he said, I'm not even going to mention his name. I'm not going to say anything. Yeah, right. Nor speak any more in his name. But, got a problem here. Got a problem. What's the problem? He was going to be quiet. He was going to be silent. But he'd read too much. He'd heard too much of God's Word. He'd prayed too much. He'd been in the Word too much. And it says, but his Word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary. I was hurting trying to be quiet. I was weary of holding it back. And I could not. Oh, man. That is such a message. I mean, when you think about it. If you spend time with God. If you'll spend time in His Word. If you spend time talking God's Word. When the crisis comes, you can't help but speak up.
That's right.
You can't help but begin to prophesy, you know, begin to say what God says and pray what God says. Right. You're not in this thing alone. And all that praying and all that study and all that going to church and reading God's Word, it pays off because He comes and takes over. He's now your help, and you don't have to settle in silence. Amen. Your heart's overflowing with a good theme, see? And so your tongue's ready to write.
That's good.
I love this. And I've been there. You know, I've gotten mad. Anybody ever got mad? I mean, I get mad at a situation or something, you know, and I know what God says. I know exactly what God says, but I'm mad about it. I'm just mad about it, you know. I'm wrong. I've got to repent. Ask God to forgive me and everything, you know. But I can't help myself. I've got to say it. I've got to say what God says. I've got to pray what God says to pray here. Even through all the frustration, I can't help. I know too much about God. I know He's good. I know He's on my side. I know He's not my problem. I know He's not trying to do something to me here. He's trying to help me. And all that frustration just falls at the feet of His Word, and I realize, no, God's waiting for me to pray. He's waiting for me to believe. He's waiting for me to stand on His Word. He's waiting, and it just comes out because I've got too much in me.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Praise God. And that's the way we need to be. We need to get God's Word in us and not settle these things in silence. You know, the last word rules the day. That's what it comes down to. The loudest voice, the last voice. You need to confront that voice. You need to, that voice of pain, that voice of tragedy, that voice of crisis. No, you need to get God's Word. You need to speak up with the Word of God. This Word, like a fire shut up in your bones, needs to come up out of your lips.
That's right. That's right.
And you need to settle this thing. Turn over to Mark 11. This is good. Man, don't settle in silence. Mark 11. Well, I'll just be quiet and it'll all go away. No, that's not in the Bible. Pull the sheet over my head and make all the bad people go away. No. Just ignore this thing, it'll disappear. You know how many people die of physical diseases? And just in the natural, I'm not even talking about believing God and standing on the Word. Die of physical diseases in the natural, heart attacks, heart problems, because they ignore it. They won't go to the doctor. They won't confront it. They think it'll just go away. You know, things don't just go away. Spiritually or naturally. They have to be confronted. You know, I read some quotes from Winston Churchill the other night. Wednesday night, talking about victory, talking about overcoming and so on and so forth. The Prime Minister of Great Britain at that time was Neville Chamberlain. And Neville Chamberlain, at the time of World War II, when Hitler was rising to power, went and met with Hitler and came back and said, "He's a nice guy. He won't attack us. He wouldn't go to war. Wouldn't fight." And Winston Churchill hammered at Parliament for 3 years, telling them, "We're going to have to fight. We're going to have to fight. We're going to have to fight." And they called him back in, took over Neville Chamberlain's place, because they needed somebody that would stand up and confront the enemy, who was Hitler. And he spoke against Hitler, and he spoke up. Are you with me? And he voiced his concerns, and he says, "We must fight. And we'll fight on the beaches, and we'll fight in the sea, and we'll fight in the air." Woo! The awesome speech. I mean, see, he confronted it. He was 65 years old when they called him back in to Great Britain to lead them to victory. Man, what a voice. But see, he recognized evil for what it is. He recognized the outcome of evil. Listen, we live in an evil world. And the devil is not somebody you need to buddy up with. He wants to destroy you. And there's a battle going on for your soul and for your family and for your church and your city. And we need to fight this fight. And we fight it through prayer, through confession, and through saying what God says and not accepting. No, no, no. We don't accept that. You'll hear reports from doctors, and God bless doctors. They're doing a great job. They're doing all they can, but they have to tell you in the natural what they find. Many times they find things and diagnose things that are terrible news in the natural, and they have to tell you that when you're in the hospital. But what you've got to be quick to do is say, "Okay, I appreciate that. I understand what you're saying, but I am believing God in Jesus' name."
Amen.
Are you with me? You've got to be bold. You've got to speak up. I remember Brother Osteen and Doty, you know, went to the hospital in 1981. Doty was diagnosed with metastatic cancer of the liver. They gave her 2 weeks to live, sent her home. The doctor just sent her home. There was nothing they could do. She got down to 89 pounds. And the doctor says, "You know, she's got this and that and so." And Brother Osteen said, well, we're believing God, doctor. I just want you to know, I appreciate all you're doing, but we're believing God. And the doctor said, well, Brother Osteen, I don't know if you understand, you're going to need a miracle. And Brother Osteen says, we're going to get one. Dodie's still alive today. She's still praying for the sick at Lakewood Church. That's Joel Osteen's mama. Dodie, that was 1981. And she didn't die in 81, and she didn't die next year, and she didn't die in 10 years. She didn't die in 20 years.
Wow.
In fact, next year it'll be 30 years. Is that right? Yeah. Do my math right. Okay. Yeah. But you know what? They went home. She got her about 20-something scriptures on healing on a sheet of paper. 40-something scriptures on healing, excuse me, on a sheet of paper. Confess them every day, all day long, every day. Make herself get up out of bed. Make herself walk. She said, I'm not going to die today. I'm not going to die tomorrow. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Father, your word says this. Your word says this. I say what you say. And she said it over and over. And she didn't get better overnight. And it didn't happen in a week or two or three, but she started getting a little better. And then within a year's time, she went back to the hospital and they had not one trace of cancer in her body. Metastatic cancer of the liver is deathly in the natural. It's fatal. It's a quick killing disease. Hallelujah. Mm. Thank God she didn't settle in silence. She could have walked away and said, that's it. That's not an indictment on anybody here. This is not condemnation. Maybe you have relatives that have died or you're fighting something, whatever. You know, if someone dies and goes to heaven as a Christian, we thank God they're in heaven. That's a wonderful thing. And there's no regrets there. Are you with me? But I'm saying you can fight this thing. God tells us to fight it. We should fight it. And I believe you should live a good life and then go on to be with the Lord. But I don't think you ought to go out sick. Are you with me? All right. Mark 11. Found it? Let's wrap this up. This helping you? Mark 11. This is Jesus speaking. This is not something, if you're familiar with Kenneth Hagin didn't write this verse. This is something Jesus said. It's in the Bible. He said, and he's actually responding to something that just happened where he cursed a fig tree and it died. And they wondered how in the world that happened. And Jesus said to the disciples in the 22nd verse, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. That'd be a good start in your life. Amen. Have faith in God. I think even in the Greek, it connotates have the faith of God or God kind of faith. Believe like God believes. Love like God loves. Forgive like God forgives. That kind of thing, you know. 23rd verse, for assuredly or verily I say unto you, whosoever, everybody say whosoever.
Whosoever.
I love this. I remember another time Jesus said this. I believe it was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that
whosoever
believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. What do you think that is? That's pretty much whosoever, right? We preach it from the mountaintops and housetops and all around the world, church after church, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, here he says the same thing. He's just talking about a different outcome, but it's for whosoever. Whosoever. How many of you are born again, saved, going to heaven? You believe on Jesus. All right. So you are one of those whosoevers in John 3:16. Hallelujah. You can be one of these whosoevers too. Okay. Maybe you've never been one of these whosoevers, but you can be. All you got to do is do what the requirements are and the conditions are, just like you did in John 3:16. You met the condition. You believed on Jesus, and now you're not perishing. Hallelujah. You got everlasting life. Because you figured you were one of those whosoevers. Man, I want to be one of these whosoevers.
That's right.
He says, surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, notice what he does not say. Whosoever ignores this mountain. Whosoever comes to a mountain and just zips the lip. Doesn't say a word. Or worse, just stand there and look at it and says, whatever. No, don't say whatever. Say what God says. Well, whatever. No, that's not what God says. You have to speak up. You have to write it. Take your pen, write that chapter. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, not ignore this mountain, not be quiet when the mountain comes up on the horizon, not hope it goes away, But whosoever shall say to this mountain, not be silent. No, you see, the Lord is our help. The faith of God. Faith in God. He just got through saying that. God all of a sudden now is my help and I don't have to be silent. I don't have to be quiet. I can pray. I don't have to accept this. I can make a difference. I can change this. Why? Because the Lord's my help. And my heart is overflowing with a good thing. Or if you rather would say it this way, your heart's indicting a good matter. You know, whatever gets you stirred up. But what you've got inside of you is going to come out of you because the word is like a fire shut up in your bones. You might try to hold back, but you can't. You just got to speak. And we need to speak, amen? That's how we change it. That's how we change what's happening. See, things will continue until you change it. Things will continue until there's another voice, until there's another word. And you are that other voice and another word. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed. This obstacle, this opposition, this problem, this crisis, this sickness, this pain. Whosoever shall say to... You don't just ignore it. You can't just say whatever. You have to say to it, be removed. You speak to it. Just like Jesus told the wind to be quiet, told sickness to go and demons to leave, you speak to the problems of life. You speak to them through your confession, through your prayer, through what you're saying.
Yes.
You're sowing seeds. They're going to reap a harvest with the words that you speak. You're writing a chapter of your life. You're changing the outcome. You're not putting a the end on it. You're writing another chapter. You're going to survive Rickenback Falls. Because you say something. Because you say something. You pray something. You believe something. You confess something. You pray. It says here, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes the things which he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says.
Amen.
Wow. Who said that?
Jesus
said that. That's what Jesus said. Man, if I can't take Jesus' word on this, whose word can I take?
Amen.
I mean, he's telling me I need to speak up. I don't need to accept the mountains of life. Now let's put this in perspective. I understand persecution. I understand we're going to be persecuted. I understand reproach. People are going to make fun of us for Jesus' sake. He's talking about obstacles and mountains that we have the authority and the right over.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Many of the things we're accepting and enduring, we should be overcoming. Many things we're trying to overcome, we should be accepting. I accept the fact people don't always like me when I talk about Jesus, stand up for Jesus. That's just part of it. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I understand that. I can't make everybody like me. Boy, that's a mystery. I don't get that one. But a lot of other stuff I'm enduring, I should be overcoming. It's like, you know, the church has got it all mixed up. We're, instead of passing out tracks and casting out devils, or passing out devils and casting out tracks. But anyway. You didn't get that. I can tell with the response. Anyway. better not. Anyway. Let's wrap this up. You speak to the mountains. You speak to the problems. You speak to the crisis. You go in there, you plow through, and you win this deal. You do it. Listen, we do this in business. We do it in life all the time. All of a sudden, when it comes to God and the Word, we don't do it. I don't know why that is. I mean, we don't accept defeat. We get in there, and we beat our way through this thing, and we make it happen. We're not going to accept this. And when it comes to the things of God, we just don't stand up. We let the devil run over us and take our kids and our home and our soul and our church. No, sir. We don't do that as Christians in this church. We stand up and pray and believe God and plow through. We don't accept defeat because God doesn't accept it. God wants to bless us, so we're going to say we're blessed in Jesus' name. Amen? And I think it's significant that Jesus even goes on and institutes the very principle that he just gave us. The principle being that whatever you say, if you believe what you say, you will have whatever you say. Then he says, therefore I say. Wow. So now Jesus is saying, I'm going to institute the principle. I just gave you the principle. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which you say shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. Therefore, I say. Now I'm going to say something here. I'm going to institute this principle, and what I say is going to come to pass. And this is what I say. And this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, I say, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So to get this. If the Lord hadn't been my help, I would have settled in silence. Jesus is helping me here. If I desire something, it's in the Bible, it's in the Word, and I pray, and I believe I receive them, I'll have Him, have them, and I have His Word on that.
Amen.
I have His Word on it. He said it. He instituted the principle. He's going to have. Do you believe Jesus has what He says?
Yes.
Well, this is what He said He'd have. He would have this. Jesus will have this.
Yes.
When you and I pray, and we believe, now there's the key, you've got to believe. But when you and I pray and believe that we receive the things that we pray for,
yeah,
we'll have them.
Amen.
Because that's what Jesus said.
Right.
And Jesus put His faith behind that. And Jesus spoke that and believed that. And Jesus said that, and He doesn't doubt in His heart, but He believes those things which He says will come to pass. So He says that when therefore I say, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. Y'all catch that? Y'all not shouting near loud enough to got that. When I'm standing on that scripture, I've got Jesus backing me up. I've got the Word, yes, but I have Him having prayed that thing over me already. He confessed that over me.
Amen.
He wasn't silent about it. He spoke up. So I don't have to be silent. The Lord is my help here. He's helping me with this. And since He is my help, I don't have to settle in silence. I can speak up. My heart's overflowing with a good theme, a good matter. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. His Word is a fire shut up in my bones, and I cannot help but speak.
Amen.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. You and I need to speak up about the trials of life, the problems of life, the obstacles of life. You and I need to pray. You know, the Bible even says, any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. He was saying, don't accept it. You pray. Speak up. Don't let everything that happens in life happen. Stop it and write a new chapter. Amen.